I'm Rose Skeeters, host of From Borderline to Beautiful, a show about hope and recovery for BPD.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. I am your host, Rose Skeeters, and today I wanted to talk about the power of shifting your focus. Having borderline personality disorder can mean having both rigid and then chaotic expectations. It could also mean having big emotions and not always having a clear idea of reality or what the truth of a situation is because of these big emotions, feelings of emptiness, loneliness, fear of abandonment, and many more symptoms that make this diagnosis just so painful. This Tuesday Truth, I wanted to talk about the power of shifting your focus and how if you can harness this superpower, you can shift your focus and change your life. Yesterday, Jay and I were in front of the Borderline from Beautiful community on the Mighty Networks from b2b.mn.co. We were doing a live podcast. Jay brought up our experience on Easter Sunday just this past weekend as evidence that shifting your focus can be a key concept to help you along the way in your recovery journey. It was interesting because he was saying, hey, you know, Rose used this skill and this is how she did it. And it was interesting because I didn't even realize it. So quite fascinating for me to be able to have that told to me and then to be able to share this skill with you today. Okay, so I'm going to take some time today to tell you about that story and just how I shifted my focus and Jay's reaction to that focus shift. So I will say, before I get into that you should know that historically, when things didn't go my way or the way that I expected them in BPD brain, I would become very overwhelmed. I had a low frustration tolerance, so when I was overwhelmed, I would engage in destructive relationship behaviors. Some of these destructive behaviors including yelling, lashing out, blaming the person, not the problem, not making eye contact, not regulating my emotions, wanting to vent instead, emotionally dumping and taking a small problem and blowing it up, making it super big and letting it consume and ruin an entire weekend or even week. So that's how that rigid or chaotic thinking would influence me in my life in the past. Once I learned to accept who I am, to regulate my emotions, like to be willing to recognize that even though emotion regulation isn't the whole thing that's going to help, it's a part of it, I was able to learn to shift what I focus. My borderline brain wanted to be negative all the time. So I had to learn to shift what I focus on because that negativity, you know, was something that thread through everything that I looked at. It just wanted to complain and it wants to only see the things that aren't working, you know, and then I would be very, very wary and I would worry that something else was going to happen, that the other shoe would fall or that at any moment in time, that everything would fall apart. And I know that there are many of you out there listening that can relate to that. So one of the things, again, that helped me Tuesday Truth is this concept of shifting the focus. So let me talk to you about Sunday, and then I can leave you with three things that you can do concretely this week to shift your focus. So this Sunday was Easter Sunday, and we had had a plan to go and spend time with our church family and go to church services at 9:30 in the morning and then come home. We were going to take care of our pups. We have four of them. And then we were going to leave around noon to go spend some time with family for a meal, an Easter meal, around 1 o'clock. We usually plan things out because we do have four dogs and a son, and I do like a good plan, and I still know what to expect. I like to know what to expect, so. On Saturday evening, my son's friend had said that he wanted to come over for a sleepover, which was pretty cool. They were able to hang out and have a really great time doing that. So that was something that was unexpected. And then another unexpected thing, which was a surprise, well, not such a great surprise, but a surprise nonetheless, was that my Great Pyrenees lady, our dog, ate something that didn't agree with her. We are not quite sure what happened, but we think she drank some water that was stagnant. She had a stomach ache. So a dog's stomach ache leads to diarrhea every hour overnight. So on Saturday night, Jay was up much of the night. I can't really take credit for that. Honestly, I was so dead asleep. I didn't even know what was happening. That's another conversation for another time. But it was sweet of him because he was up with her all night and he didn't sleep very well at all. So when I woke up on Sunday morning, Jay was very tired and Lady still had a bad bellyache. So she was outside going to the bathroom for much of the morning before we were scheduled to leave to go to church. So we managed to get through it pretty well. I figured if she goes to the bathroom in the house, that's a risk I'm willing to take because it's Easter Sunday. So I want to go. I want to experience the holiday. That's something I want to be a part of. And so we woke up my son and his friend and we left and we went to church. We got there on time. As soon as we walk in, Jay finds out that he actually made a mistake and he was supposed to be helping out volunteering doing security detail at the service, which means that he would have needed to be at church until around 12:30, 1 o'clock. Now, it's a rushed morning with Lady being outside and my son's friend being over and having to wake them up, take a shower, all the things. So I was kind of disheveled. I had two different strength contacts in. I didn't have my cell phone. I didn't have my license. It's kind of a mess. I figured, you know what? You don't need any of those things anyway. Just book it out the door. Let's not be late. We're just going down a country road. So I was banking on Jay to be the one to drive. So when I found out that he had to be at the service and I had to drive home, my initial reaction was like, oh my goodness, here we go. So I'm like, babe, I don't have my license. I like whisper this to him and my contacts. And he's like, well, we're going to have to figure something out. I'm sorry. I made this mistake. And so I'm like thinking in my mind, this is very uncomfortable. But he made a point and he was like, it's just a country road, which is true, just a straight shot. And I could see, you know, it just wasn't ideal and I wasn't going on any highways. So I was like, you know what? Instead of looking at what I can't do, I'm just going to look at what I can do. And I know, Jay, I know that when he makes mistakes, you know, he's hard on himself. So I want to be there. I want to support him. I want him to know that, you know, it's okay. I'll drive with one eye open and the other one closed and it's all good. So he hands me the keys and we leave. My son's friend, he asked me, could I drop him off, which is also something unexpected. So, okay, I dropped him off. He lives down the country road, which is, again, a blessing because I didn't have to worry about the whole contact thing and my license. And then we went back my house. So I wish it ended there, but it didn't because I knew that when I pulled up to the house, there could be a mess in the house from Lady. So remember, Lady had a bellyache when we left. So I was prepared. So we opened the front door and I had LJ go upstairs and check the house. And the dogs were outside. They're secure. And we switched places. Sure enough, there was an accident in the house. So we went to work right away, working as a team. He stayed outside playing with them and I was cleaning up the rug. But I have to say, like, at no point in time, and this is something that Jay pointed out, there was just no point in time where I was like angry texting. I wasn't irritable. I wasn't upset because he made the mistake. I wasn't focused on punishing him at all or like the fact that things weren't going as planned. My focus was just on getting back to the next thing so we could get back to celebrating Easter. So somebody had to clean it up, right? And it wasn't going to be, you know, I'm not going to have my son clean up the carpet, right? And he was already playing with the dogs, cleaning up the yard. I knew she had a bellyache. I'm not going to angry text Jay because I have to do that. Like I have to clean up. And the thing about it in the past is I would have gotten very frustrated because my focus would have been on everything that's going wrong. So I would have got angry at Lady for pooping to begin with. I would have gotten irritable at the world, angry at Jay for not being there, for making that mistake, angry because we were going to possibly be late for Easter dinner, irritable feeling like it was all up to me. I'm the only one who cleans. Like that whole train of thought of like, this is a problem and I'm overwhelmed and there's nothing I can do about it. And me. And I would have felt that way. But I didn't. I just cleaned it up. I have a rug shampooer. I have a spray. I was able to make that mess disappear fairly quickly. And I knew we were going to have to pick up Jay because we only have one vehicle. So there's another wrench in the plan, right? So I go to work, clean up the house, gather the items we need for our family meal. And I realize, we're going to be late. I should probably cook something for LJ because he's doing a ketogenic diet for some Lyme disease. And that's something our doctor wanted him to do. So that meant that there wasn't going to be like Easter treats or yummies, not a lot of stuff for him to eat at Easter. So I went to work. I busied myself around the house, prepared a meal, decided to turn on some music because, again, to me, it's a good day, right? The me now, because that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on nurturing him. I cooked. I called him inside from the dogs. We cleaned up. He shaved. We tidied things up, took care of the dogs, made sure everybody had fresh water, headed out to pick up Jay. And we picked him up and we were only 10 minutes late to the Easter meal, which was awesome. We had a great ride down there, a good discussion. Nobody was irritated or upset, and we were able to connect with one another. Now, once we walked in the door to my family's house, we learned that we were the only people that showed up for dinner. So at that point, we all looked at one another. We start laughing. We're like, man, we are certainly the Skeeters here, making lemonade out of lemons, just, you know, kind of hour by hour, literally here on this Easter Sunday. But we had a great time and enjoyed some delicious food and wonderful company. Now, remember, Lady is still sick, already cleaned up one round. Upon returning home, I remember, okay, Lady's still sick. This like pops in my mind, right? I'm like, okay, Rose, you have to prep yourself. So I start prepping myself and reminding myself that there could be another mess. That way, I know what to expect as soon as I go in there so that I don't have to focus on anything else. So I walk in the house and sure enough, on the stairs, this is really gross, but it was like impressively yellow and green, like fluorescent, caked to the stairs. So again, thank goodness I have a rug shampooer. So we bust that out. We start getting going to town, and we're really good at this point as working as a team, you know, because in the past, I have to say it would not have gone down this way. In the past, we wouldn't have been great teammates because I would have been irritable and upset and frustrated, and I would want everybody to stay completely clear of this area and, you know, overwhelmed. And if it wasn't for Jay, because he made a mistake, because I told him he shouldn't sign up for security detail on Easter, and all the things that I would have done in the past, none of that really came to mind. I just kept thinking, man, I am so grateful to have this rug shampooer. I sprayed it. I pre-treated it. I got the machine out again. I, you know, cleaned it all up. I mean, within an hour, it was gone. And it was great because, you know, I have a different focus now. Instead of focusing on everything that I don't have, I've learned that I have everything. I always wanted a house. I always wanted a kid. I always wanted a family and dogs and a community. And I have all of that now. So when things start to get frustrating for me, because I was a little frustrated that the throw up wouldn't come off the stairs, like the rug stairs, like it was frustrating. I'm like, oh my goodness, how on earth? We weren't even gone that long. How did you do this? So when I start getting to that frustration, I'm like, okay, well, even though this is frustrating, there's a way out. So I'm reminding myself of that. And I'm shifting my focus to like, I am grateful that I have this life. And this is what happens when you have four dogs and one of them gets sick. So, you know, settle in for the ride. It's nobody's fault. Everybody here, we're all part of a team. We're all part of a family, you know, and so I've learned, again, this concept of shifting my focus is just so powerful. And what I do is I look at what can I do instead of looking at what can I do. So here are three things that I want you to do so you can start to handle situations that involve dog poop, poor planning, discomfort, and unmet expectations with ease. At the end of the day on Sunday, I was laying on my living room floor, like cuddling with Lady, rubbing on her belly, and we were all watching the movie Risen together, which is our Easter tradition. We had a snack. We wrapped up the night. It was a great day. No arguments, no irritability, no fighting. And I want you to begin your journey to being able to do that. And the first thing that you can do in these scenarios is to take a deep breath. I want you to allow yourself to get past that initial overwhelm and get into problem-solving mode. Remind yourself that emotions come and go just like the air we breathe. If you need to use a regulation skill, be sure to take a timeout and use that tip skill. The second thing I want you to do is to remind yourself that attacking the person, not the problem, can add poison to your relationship. But when you attack the problem, you can work as a team, which can enhance and deepen your connection with your partner, yourself, and also with the world around you. The third thing that I want you to do is to shift your focus from what you can't do and all the things you can't control to actually asking yourself, okay, slow down. What can I do right now? Once you have done that, I want you to begin to execute one step at a time of your new plan, looking at what can I do and starting to do that. Again, one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of From Borderline to Beautiful. I will see you next week for another episode of Truth Tuesday. And don't forget, I have a support group coming up. It will begin Friday, May 3rd. If you're interested in that, you can shoot me an email, hop on over to our website, thriveonlinecounseling.com. I will see you then. Have a great week. Are you tired of feeling frustrated, resentful, or disconnected from your family, friends, and partner? Thrive Mind Body LLC Mindset Coaching and Counseling can help you. Visit us on the web at thriveonlinecounseling.com. Again, that's thriveonlinecounseling.com.